Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start this now. We'll play a game after this. We'll do small group a little bit, stuff like that. So we are going to continue this series, which is called Life in Pieces. I like controlling that from here. And in this series, we have talked about just how your life is kind of broken up. A lot of people will say, you know, you got to get your life in order. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. But they kind of just leave it as a whole. But as you know, and as you know, the older you get, the higher your grade is, the more responsibility and independence you get, you realize that your life is a bunch of different parts. And so we've talked about the mental aspect and how you gain wisdom and how it's important to always gain wisdom. Everybody has different things that you're good at, different subjects that you like, different things that come to you naturally. But one thing that is universal is we can gain wisdom. We can learn how to think empathetically towards other people, which means try to feel what they're feeling, try to think of them as people because everyone is a person. And we also talked about the physical aspect, but not necessarily the whole working out, although if you want to, that's cool, but about the whole fact that body image is something that can change. And if you, just to summarize that, if you let yourself, your own body image be dictated by what other people say or think, that's always going to change and you're never going to feel like you're right, when in fact it's something that you should feel happy with, you should feel comfortable with. And I get that that's easier said than done because that bothers me, and I'll just be straight up because one of the things that I will agree to is that I'm just real with what I say and I tell the truth to you guys. Before I came here, I had a different shirt on and I was like, I hate how this looks, and I changed it. And you know, nobody would know that if I didn't say it, and I recognize that, but it's still something that bothers me, something that I struggle with. I go through a lot before Sunday mornings when I preach especially, like what am I gonna wear? I need to remember that I'm on screen. And today there was a picture from a couple weeks ago that I did not like of myself, and that kind of threw me for a little bit. And so things like that, and some of you guys deal with that, some of you guys don't. If you don't, that's awesome. If you do, just recognize that your value does not come from your looks. And I get that every adult in your life tells you beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but I promise you that that's true. And if you can work on your own self-confidence and you can work on being happy with who you are, that will affect a lot. And it's harder for some than others, but it's something where everybody who doesn't struggle with it or everybody who's kind of working through it, help other people to just see the beauty in themselves. And I get that sounds corny, but it's legit. And it's something that is a lifetime struggle for some people. But I promise you that it's worth it to work on. And then last week we talked about more emotional issues. And I talked about my depression and anxiety and things like that. It's very hard for me in big group settings, like adult settings especially, and I feel very judged, and I feel very looked at, and I feel very alone. And so when I leave from those, I really need some alone time. And so if I have a week, like this week was really busy, and I had meetings, and I was a lot of places, and I had to do a lot of things, and so I just needed Saturday to be away from people. And it's not an insult to people, but some of you guys have stuff like that. Like, you have to recognize your mental health as much as your physical health. And you have to realize, well, what helps me? What helps me feel comfortable with myself? What helps me feel better about things? What helps me with this? And then you help each other. And again, and I'll say this a million times in my life and a million times in your life, always keep fighting means that you always keep trying. It means that just waking up is winning. Just waking up, no matter what you think of yourself, no matter what other people say about you, just waking up is winning, and you keep trying from there, and you keep moving forward, and you keep helping each other to move forward, and you keep recognizing your value and understanding that you're worth it. And again, these are things that even if I preach them every single week for the rest of the year, like, it's not something that I think I can just say and boom, you're like, oh, well, Jeff said it, so I'm fixed now, because that's not how it works. But recognizing that it's something you can work on and you can try with and you can help each other with, that's something that's important. And so this week we're going to the spiritual aspect, and we're going to talk about your faith, and we're going to talk about how to grow that, but we're also going to talk about what it means to be a Christian. One of the things that you'll find, especially around certain times of the year, it's really easy to say you're a Christian. Like, everybody in the world can say, I'm a Christian, but it's very different to actually live that out. One of the things this morning when I preached, I said, is it's easy when you're in these walls, when you're in church, when you're around people you love, when you're around people you trust, when you're around people you agree with, it's really easy to be a Christian. It's really easy to be nice to people that are nice to you. It's really easy to be humble around people who are humble to you. It's really easy to be kind to people who are kind to you, all that stuff. But the world is not made up of people who are kind or humble or good to you even. And so it's important for us to remember that the biggest part of our spiritual life is loving God and loving others. And that's something you'll hear me say a million times. So I'm going to read this scripture. This is from Romans 8, 31 through 39. And I just realized why I usually stand up there, because the lights are brighter and I've moved away from them. I am old. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up. Okay, I'm going to have to turn my flashlight on. Don't make fun of me. This is exciting for me. Okay, I was just talking to somebody about this before, and now I'm embarrassed. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. So basically what this says is, if God loves you, you've got that. Now, that's hard sometimes to accept. Sometimes you don't feel loved. Sometimes you don't feel lovable. But this says that God loved you so much, and this isn't something that you've never heard, that he gave up his only son, that he gave Jesus to die for us. You see, Jesus was a sacrifice for us. Jesus was a sacrifice in love. And one of the things we sometimes forget is that Jesus didn't die for all of the Christians. Jesus died for every person who ever is and ever will be. Died for every person who ever was. Died for every person that may exist. Died for every person in the history of time. Died for every person yet to come. For them to have the opportunity to be saved. For them to have the opportunity to love. He died for us before we were saved. He died for us before we were who we want to be. Like, he died for us to have that option. Sometimes we forget that in the church, and sometimes we forget what it looks like to show other people that. But that shows us sacrifice. And love and sacrifice go hand in hand. If you have somebody that you really love, like a family member or a friend or a boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, somebody that you really love, you're going to sacrifice for them. Now, you don't want to give up things that matter to you in terms of things that make you who you are. You don't want to change who you are just to make somebody happy, but like your parents sacrifice for you. You make compromises for each other to help each other out sometimes. Like, these things are sacrifice. And it goes same with God. Like, getting up to go to church, or taking time to go to youth, or taking time to help on Tuesdays, or taking time to pray with someone or pray for someone, that's a sacrifice of our time, because it's always easier to not do those things. And so God shows us not just his love, but he shows us the example of how to live. And that's the biggest part of spirituality, of our spiritualness, of our spiritual life, is to try to be like Jesus, to look at what he did. I have a friend who is an atheist and a Jew. Like, he was born Jewish, but he's an atheist. I've known him since college. We're really close friends. He asks me sometimes, because of news things, like, I don't understand Christians. And he's like, I thought Jesus said to help the poor, or I thought Jesus said to love everyone, or I thought Jesus said this. And I'm like, yeah, he did. And yet, when I said that it's really easy to say you're a Christian, sometimes it's really hard to act like a Christian. And so you'll see in the news, you'll see at different times of the year, you'll see sometimes on social media, people who use their Christianity to hurt other people. One of the things I've talked about a lot, probably not to you guys, most of you at least, when I was in college, I went to Ball State. And there was a guy who stood on the corner with a bullhorn. And he had a sign that said, you're going to hell. And with his bullhorn, everybody that walked by, he said, hey, you're going to hell, repent and follow Jesus. Hey, you're going to hell, repent and follow. He didn't stop to ask, hey, you know, are you a Christian? He didn't stop to ask, who are you? He didn't stop to ask anything. He's just starting with, you're going to hell. And he's judging everybody, and he's hating everybody with his actions. I would imagine that really nobody went up to talk to him. I would imagine that if that was what he, let's say he's a pastor, if that's what he did every Sunday, probably not a very big church. And yet that is what people often think of as Christianity. Because a lot of times the loudest voices, and the voices that are in the political arenas, and the voices that are on TV, and the voices that are on social media, are not the ones that represent us. And so we kind of have to go uphill in a lot of ways. And it's really hard sometimes, because I've had situations where somebody's asked me what I've done, and I'm a youth pastor, and they're like, oh, and like, that's it. Like, they won't listen anymore because they've been hurt by somebody in the church. Now, does that make it my fault? No, because I didn't do anything, but We do that. Like, people are people. And so we carry things like that. And that makes it that much more important for us to remember that we sacrifice what we want sometimes to follow what God says. Like, we may not want to think of someone else as worth it. They may have hurt our feelings. They may have made fun of us. But to God, they are worth it. They just have to change their lives. And it's hard for us. Sometimes the hardest thing to do for Christians, especially the older you get, it seems, is to sacrifice an argument for love. One of the reasons I don't get on Facebook very much anymore is there's a lot of political stuff of people on both sides, but you see a lot of Christians just saying awful, evil things, mean, cruel things. And it starts with just this almost easy statement or something where somebody says what they believe, and then somebody comes in and just attacks them and basically does the bullhorn thing. And then it turns into an argument. And whereas Jesus would talk to someone, and like if they changed the subject, it allowed them to change the subject. He just established what the truth was, and he established his love for them. He established who he was and what he stood for. And then he'd carry out the conversation because he saw people as people. But on social media sometimes, and sometimes in life, you see people who don't care who the other person is or whether they're helping or not. They just want to win that argument. And sometimes people win those arguments at the cost of helping that other person see Jesus, because those people walk away then, and that's where they see the church as negative. Now, we're not perfect. Nobody that's a Christian is perfect. We hold ourselves sometimes to impossible standards because we want to be that, at least I do. But what this says is we start with God's love. We start with the fact that Jesus died for all of us, for our sins, and then we show people that. We sacrifice for that. We help people see that sacrifice. Going to the next part, as I show my age. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ who loved us. So nothing you ever did, nothing you ever do, takes away God's love for you. I want to start there. And this is important for every understanding. To be a Christian, to officially, quote unquote, be a Christian, is to say to Jesus, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I accept you into my heart. That's essentially all you have to say. And then from there, you try, you do your best, you read the Bible, you pray, you help other people, you love God, love others, you work from there. But it starts with that saying, hey, I was wrong, please forgive me. I love you, help me to do better. Like accepting Jesus, accepting him, and then you go from there. But you're not going to be perfect. And before that, you're not going to be perfect. But even before you make that decision, he loves you completely. Now, that doesn't mean you're a Christian, but it means that he loves you. It means you have that. It means you always have that shot. It means you always have that chance to choose him. It means that everyone has that chance to choose him. The anybody who people think of as being irredeemable, they're not irredeemable. That means everybody can be forgiven. Everybody can change. That's a hard concept sometimes. I listen to a true crime podcast called Morbid, and it's something that I listen to basically to scare me of Beatrice's life. But it's a neat podcast, but they sometimes will talk about serial killers. And so I realize now that I'm going into a serial killer segment, so I apologize for that. But John Wayne Gacy, if you don't know who that is, don't look him up. Just understand that he's a bad person. He's dead. He did a lot of bad things. He was a killer. I was listening to the part where they're talking about the things he did and about his cases, and they're like, well, he found religion in jail, but he can't be forgiven. Like, that's what the people said as their commentary. That's where it gets really hard for us, because this person is a monster. He is an evil person. He did evil things. And so we look at that, and it's very easy, and every single person in here who knows who he is thinks the exact same thing at the same time. Yeah, I'm sure he did. We think that. We have that thought. Again, one of the things I said this morning, you can't control the first thought that you had. You can't control that first judgment. When you see someone, we all make snap judgments, but you can control what you do with that. You don't have to keep that. And so we have that thought. I don't know him, thankfully. I don't know anything about him, thankfully. I hope that it was legit. I don't know. But that's kind of the point. I don't know. But that shows us everyone can be forgiven. Everyone. God still loves them. Now, the thing that we sometimes forget is we still have to pay for our actions. Like if Rob goes out of here and he gets cut off by somebody while he's driving And he gets real mad, angry, because those puppies in his back seat, they're just barking, and he's like, I got to get rid of these. And if you don't get that, that's fine. We'll get to that at another point. But he's just so angry, and he's got to get to McDonald's because he needs that Happy Meal with the new toy, and he wants it. It's Paw Patrol, and he loves them so much. The movie came out, and it's exciting, which is the dichotomy of Rob, because he gets rid of puppies, but he also loves Paw Patrol, but we'll get into that at another point. Anyway, Rob's driving a gets cut off, and he's so angry, so he follows this person, and they're going to McDonald's too. And so Rob kills them in anger. Rob kills them, and I realize that some of you don't know Rob, so you're like, I'm kind of scared of Rob now. Rob would never do this, that's why I use him. But he kills them in anger. And then he realizes, he's like, oh, what did I do? And he prays right there, and he's like, please forgive me of this. And he means it, he legitimately means it. Well, God forgives him. But he still has to pay for that. You see, he still will pay for that crime. And so that's my point. Like, we sometimes think that people don't deserve it because they've done something. People do need to pay the consequences. People that do wrong to you, people that abuse you, they absolutely need to pay for that. And you absolutely should cut them out of your life if someone abuses you in any way. But that doesn't mean that they can never change. It also doesn't mean that if they do change that you have to accept them back. You can forgive someone without forgetting what they did. In fact, you should forgive people without forgetting what they did. But hating, judging, means that you never allow anyone else to become who they were. My first youth group back at my hometown church, there was a girl who was a cheerleader, and she had done a lot of things that she regretted, but she became a Christian, and she was constantly reminded of her past every single week, just about things that she'd done, and people would never let her forget it, and it followed her. And maybe people do that to you sometimes, but the important thing to know is that God doesn't. And even if you do something and you get forgiveness, but then you get in trouble for it, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It means he's allowing you to learn from that, and so he loves you no matter what, and that love follows you. It can never leave. Nothing you can ever do, nothing, think of anything, nothing you can ever do takes that love away. He will always love you. Now, you can choose to go away from God. You can choose to not love him back. But he will always love you. And that's what our faith is based on, that he loves every single person ever. And that love is always there for us to choose. That's what it means to have faith. And our job is to live in that love and to accept it and then to show it to people. And again, if somebody hurts you and they abuse you or they're mean to you, it's fine to cut them out. But one of the things we sometimes fail at is we say, okay, well, I've forgiven them, but I've moved on. But then we talk about them behind their back. We just have to let it go. Now, there are sometimes things that take counseling and sometimes things that take time. And I'm not saying don't get the help you need. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't turn people in. Do. What I'm saying is we have to show God's love all the time. And we have to recognize that everyone has that option to love him back. Last part of the scripture. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So not only does nothing we ever do stop God from loving us, but also nothing we ever face. So I've talked about my depression, but let's go with you guys. Let's say that you have something big coming up. Like you've got some big tests, and you have a test in each class, but you also have a driving exam, or you also have a tryout for a team or a big game or something. And you really mess up. Like you tried, but you really mess up on the tests. And like you fail a couple of them, and you do poorly on a couple of them, and it just sucks. And then you go from there and you get in trouble at home. And you go from there and you lose your job. And you go from there and you get dumped. And you go from there and you get cut from the team or you lose the game or whatever. You get a red card or you get drafted by the Bengals. Something awful. And so whatever happens, he still loves you. And you're going to feel like, man, this day sucked and everything is hard and nobody loves me. But he still loves you and he still helps you through that. And the adults that are here could tell you about times in our lives where it felt like nobody else was there. It felt like everything was falling apart. Again, back in Seymour, my first church was my home church where I grew up, and I was a youth pastor there, but long story short, I worked full-time for part-time pay, which was not very much. And my great-grandma who raised me had just passed away. There were expenses with that. There were other things. essentially, long story short, I was like a paycheck away from being homeless. And so I have an understanding of what that feels like, and a lot of people have had it worse, and a lot of people have had it worse for longer, but I went through this period of time where I felt like I was judged at work, and I felt like I wasn't doing well, and I also felt like I was about to lose everything, and it was hard. And yet God still loved me. Even the days I didn't love myself, even the days when I felt like I was losing everything, he still loved me. And there were three different times where I got these random checks from different colleges or different places that I'd been, and it helped me through that month, or different times where somebody said something that helped me through that month, or somebody gave away something. Since I was raised by my great-grandparents who were living through the Great Depression, I don't throw away anything. You can see that in my office, but all of my silverware is plastic and all of my plates are paper because I'll take things home from the restaurants or whatever, because I was also raised in the Great Depression, apparently. But my point is, that helped me be who I am, but also God kept loving me. So nothing you ever do, but also nothing you ever go through. There are going to be times that are really hard. Again, one of the things I said today, one of the things I say a lot, I would love to tell you that becoming a Christian means that life is easy from there. It's not. It's not, but it's worth it. And you always have that love, and you always have him with you. And then we show that. That's what our spirit means. That's what our faith means. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. It means we do our best to love God by honoring him, by trying to be a good person, by following who he tells us to be, by following what Jesus did, by looking at Jesus' life and being like, well, Jesus treated people like this. I'm going to treat people like this. By following those types of moral things, by following our conscience, but by following his spirit. And then love others, which means that we love others in the same way. I know that everybody here knows Greek really well. And so you're like, man, I was just studying Greek and Hebrew the other day, and I just hoped Jeff would bring this up. I get that. Well, there's a word called agape, A-G-A-P-E. And that means unconditional love. That's like how your parents love you. Or how Rob loves Paw Patrol. Like, it's unconditional love. It's how I love Beatrice. It's unconditional love. And that means no matter what happens, you're always going to love that person. That's how God loves us. And it's how we're supposed to love God. But that same word is on love others. That's how we're supposed to love everybody else. And you're like, well, that person sucks. How can I love them? Loving doesn't mean liking. Loving doesn't mean hanging out with. Loving doesn't mean talking to, even. It means that you don't hate them. It means that you hope that their life is okay. It means you pray for them. It means that you do what you can to set an example for them. And as I've said, sometimes there are people you have to cut out of your life, but you still have to pray for them and not hate them. And that's hard sometimes. It's hard. And it's timely. It takes time sometimes. But God does the same for us and for everyone. So your job as a Christian, your job as an example, is to do your best. Treat other people like you'd want to be treated, to show people love, to just live your life a quarter mile at a time and doing everything you can to show Jesus to everyone. Not what you see on TV, not what you see from all adults, but what you see from Jesus, to show that to everyone and to be better than the generations before and to do everything you can to be like him all the time and then to help each other rise like that. That's all I got.